Hare Krishna. So let's see the entire chapter number 4 with all the shlokas together. So in chapter 3, that is the previous chapter, Krishna spoke about transcendental knowledge, but he didn't give the details of transcendental knowledge, but he glorified the transcendental knowledge, saying how the transcendental knowledge works, helps a person to elevate to a different level of consciousness, a different platform altogether. So he made various statements like transcendental knowledge helps one to go from Sakama Karma Yoga to Nishkama Karma Yoga. He also said that it gives intelligence, a strength to overcome all the lusty desires. And he also made a point that it helps to purify our consciousness from passion to goodness. And then in one of the shlokas, to be more specific, shloka number 30, he said, surrender all your work unto Krishna. Now to surrender, someone has to know about the person. So now what Krishna is going to do is, he is going to address all this in chapter number 4, which is titled as Transcendental Knowledge. Now he is going to talk about what is this transcendental knowledge all about. And since we have seen this shloka by shloka, we understand transcendental knowledge is nothing but knowledge about Krishna. So let's see the entire chapter summary, all the shlokas. So now in shloka number 1 and 2, Krishna is talking about the parampara in which this transcendental knowledge was given. So in shloka number 1, he is saying that he gave the knowledge to sun god Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave it to the father of mankind, Manu. Manu in turn he gave it to Ikshvaku. So in this way, this knowledge was given, and in this way it was understood. But then whenever it appears to be lost, Krishna, he comes to give the knowledge. And this is what he tells in shloka number 2. And then in shloka number 3, we see that Krishna is saying that now this knowledge appears to be lost, so I am giving it to you again. But now what is the qualification? What is the qualification to receive this Bhagavad Gita? Here Krishna is saying, Bhakto si me sakha cheti. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are my friend and you are my devotee, bhakta and sakha. So you are eligible, you are qualified to receive this transcendental knowledge. So he is giving this Bhagavad Gita. So after hearing this, Arjuna has a question. Arjuna is asking that, oh Krishna, you are saying that you gave the knowledge to Vivaswan, but he appeared millions of years ago and you are my contemporary. So how is it possible? Obviously, this Arjuna's question was not a doubt on Krishna, but then he's asking this question for the benefit of all the people who are going to hear these different verses from Krishna, and they might doubt. So just in prior itself, Arjuna is asking this question so that this doubt gets cleared completely. So from shloka number 5 onwards, Krishna has started answering. So in shloka number 5, Krishna is talking about this, that bahuni me vatitani janmani tava cha Arjuna. So he is saying that we both have taken many, many births together, but then you don't remember, I remember all of that. And after telling this, he says in shloka number 6, by the way, from 6 to 10, he is talking about himself, how great he himself is, why he appears, etc., etc. Especially in shloka number 6, he is talking about how he is unborn and how his body is completely spiritual, which never deteriorates. And then he also talks about that how he is the Lord of all living entities. Bhutanam Ishwaropi San. Now shloka number 7 is a very, very famous shloka. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharataha abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyaham. So when Krishna appears in this world, whenever and wherever there is decline in religion and predominance of irreligion, adharma, so at that time Krishna appears. But then now Krishna gives more details to why he appears. He gives three reasons in shloka number 8. Paritranaya sadhunam, to protect his devotees. Vinashaya cha duskrutam, to annihilate all the miscreants. And dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish the dharma. Sambhavami yuge yuge, he appears millennium after millennium for this purpose. Now after telling this, Krishna is telling that if someone understands my transcendental appearance and activities, janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tattvatah, if anyone knows this in truth, what will happen? Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. So anyone who understands this very nicely in truth, such a person, giving up the body in this material world, he'll go back to spiritual world and never return to this material world. Basically, he will attain perfection, break the cycle of birth and death. Then after glorifying this, in shloka number 10, he says that by understanding me, many, many people in the past have become purified and thus they all attain transcendental love for me. So in this way, Krishna is talking about his own self from shloka number 5 to 10. Now, when it comes to shloka number 11, he's telling a very nice thing. So here, in shloka number 10, it is spoken about those people who are eager to know about Krishna, who are eager to attain perfection. But then Arjuna might have a question that what about those people who don't come to you to know about you or to attain perfection? What about them? So Krishna in shloka number 11, a very important shloka, he says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. So basically he is saying that I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So ye yatha mam prapadyante, the way they surrender on to me, to an extent they surrender on to me, to that extent I reciprocate. That's what he is telling. But now there might be a question that, oh Krishna, if you reciprocate accordingly, then why is it that people don't come to you? All the people don't come to you? Then Krishna is telling, Are there are some people. There are some people who want quick results. So they go to demigods. Now Arjuna might have another question. That, okay, if they are going to demigods, how will they get purified? Because without getting purified, they cannot break the cycle of birth and death. So in shloka number 13, Krishna is saying, don't worry, I have created a system for that. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. I have created varnas, the four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So if someone just follows the duties of those particular varna, then the person will get purified. Now, in shloka number 14, Krishna is telling, see, I have created this system, but then all this work doesn't affect me. Even if I do the work, you know, it doesn't affect me. There is no work that affects me. And then in shloka number 15, he's talking about this point of how people in the past who have followed Varnashrama for the pleasure of Krishna, they all, you know, have attained liberation. So basically all these liberated souls, you know, they have followed Varnashrama for the pleasure of Krishna and they have attained perfection. That's what, you know, he's talking about. So in this way, this very important question of Arjuna is answered, that what about those people who are not approaching you for perfection? So how will they get purified? By following Varnashrama. Now after describing all this, now Krishna is talking about karma, intricacies of karma from shloka number 16 to 24. Understanding karma on the platform of jnana. So from shloka number 16 to 18, Krishna is just talking about how difficult it is to understand the intricacies of karma. This is what he is speaking. He speaks about action, inaction, forbidden action. And after speaking about all this, in shloka number 19, shloka number 19 onwards till shloka number 23, he's talking about the symptoms of a detached worker. How can we understand that this person is working without getting attached to the results? That is basically, he's a Nishkam Karma Yogi. How will we understand this? So, in this he has given lots and lots of wonderful qualities. For example, now such a person is satisfied and independent. He performs no fruitive action. He gives up all sense of proprietorship. He is perfectly sense-controlled. He is controlled at the level of mind, at the level of intelligence. He acts only for the bare necessities of life. And then, he is free from duality, does not envy. And then finally, he is also saying that such a person who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. That person attains perfection, you know, he is saying. Now in shloka number 24, he gives the qualities of a person who is detached worker. But then he also introduces a term now, term of yajna. Now after hearing this, now Arjuna might have a question, can you please tell me more about yajna? Now Krishna starts speaking about it from shloka number 25 to 33. So 25 to 29, there are different types of sacrifices mentioned. So we have seen this in great detail, each one of them. Like there are different types of sacrifices, like for example, dravya yajna, sacrificing the possessions, tapo yajna, that is severe austerity, yoga yajna, that is practicing the eightfold mysticism, and svadhyaya jnana yajna, that is basically the transcendental knowledge, studying the Vedas. So in this way, I know I just named few, but we have seen in detail the various types of sacrifices. Then after that, from shloka number 30 to 33, Krishna is speaking about the purpose of sacrifices. Like for example, he talks about the development of jnana. So when someone does sacrifice on the spiritual platform, the knowledge is given to him. So development of knowledge. And then after that, he's talking about destruction of sins. If someone performs this yajna, so all the sins are destroyed. And at the same time, the person attains spiritual realm. So in shloka 32, he's very clear, you'll become liberated. So in this way, he has spoken about the purpose of yajna. And after this, if suppose there's a question that, okay, now you have spoken about the purpose of sacrifices. And the purpose of the sacrifice is what? Attaining jnana. That is very clear. So is there any other easy way to attain jnana? So in shloka 34, which is very, very important shloka, you know, for all the sadhakas, he says, tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnaina sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. So if you want to attain this knowledge quickly, better you go and approach a tattva darshi, the one who is enlightened, the one who is self-realized. And how to approach? No, approach him with full surrender, render service, seva, and then inquire from him very, very submissively. So this is the best way, O Arjuna. And this is what Krishna is saying. And then, after attaining the jnana, the transcendental knowledge, shloka number 35 to 38 talks about the glories of transcendental knowledge. Yes. So what happens, you know, when a person gets this transcendental knowledge? What are the results of the same? Just to name a few. So even if the person is the most sinful of all the sinners, that person will be able to cross the ocean of miseries. He'll be able to attain perfection. And then just by getting this transcendental knowledge, all the reactions are burnt into ashes. And in shloka number 38, he's saying that there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. The person will relish getting this transcendental knowledge. But then, in shloka number 39, he adds a point. Who can acquire this transcendental knowledge? Shraddhavan. Shraddhaval labhate jnanam. The one who has faith, that person can actually attain transcendental knowledge. Okay, what about those who don't have faith? What about them? What will happen to them? So here, some words are given. Agya. Agnya. So ignorant, then ashraddhanaha, faithless, and samshayatma, doubtful. So such people, what will happen to them? Vinashyati, they will just fall. And another very important line is, nayam lokosti na paro na sukham samshayatmanaha. Such a person will never get happiness, either in this world or next. Oh Arjuna, try to understand. So don't doubt, this is what Krishna is telling. And finally, in shloka number 41, Krishna is talking about a very important point, that anyone who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, all his doubts are destroyed. And since all his doubts are destroyed, he is situated in self, he becomes self-realized. And such a person is not bound by the reactions of any work. So after telling all this, after giving such a great talk in shloka number 42, Krishna is appealing to Arjuna again. Oh Arjuna, get up, stand up and fight. So in this way, in this entire chapter number 4, Krishna has described various wonderful things. And I'm sure in each and every shloka that we saw, We have seen how to apply that shloka in our day-to-day life and how, you know, in all this shlokas, one essence is very clear that in this age of Kali Yuga, we can perfect our life by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So after hearing all this, and again now Krishna has told, get up and fight. So Arjuna will have a question, isn't it? So he'll ask a question, and that's how chapter number 5 will start. So let's see that from the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.